XCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. President Trump traveled to the Middle East today where he signed a Gaza peace deal.
Can we get the documents, please?
He spoke first in Israel, then traveled to Egypt, where world leaders had gathered to work on the steps ahead in the peace process.
Together we've achieved what everybody said was impossible. At long last, we have peace in the Middle East. And it's a very simple expression, peace in the Middle East. And we've heard it for many years, but nobody thought it could ever get there. And now we're there.
Reporter Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
The fact that the hostages are back, that the war is finally ending, that reservists are going to be able to get out and get back to their jobs. I think people are hoping that maybe life can gradually get back to normal and that the nation can rebuild.
Some tough issues remain: the disarmament of Hamas and Israel's complete withdrawal, as well as who will govern Gaza. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammy McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. The Greater Wausau Chamber of Commerce granted their Athena Award to the president of a Rothschild company. Laura Streck was named the recipient of the award at the first Excellence in Business Leadership Awards night last Thursday. The award recognizes recipients for their professional excellence, community service, and for actively assisting women in attaining professional excellence and leadership skills. In a statement, Streck says the award is a reflection of the people around her. This is the 40th year of the Athena Leadership Award. The village of Kronenwetter is seeking a new president. The position was left vacant after the sudden departure of David Baker. Baker's resignation comes just months after his election in April. His term runs through 2027. In an email obtained by WSAW, Baker resigned effective Thursday and couldn't discuss it that day. He also asked the village clerk to add an item to today's village board agenda regarding finding his replacement. The village board will now appoint a new president through an application process, and those interested in filling the open seat can submit an application until 10 a.m. on Friday, November 7th. The city of Weston is seeking public input on their bicycle and pedestrian master plan. WSAW reports the village will use a grant from the State Department of Transportation to identify gaps in their bike and pedestrian network. The village has a public survey available, asking people to contribute ideas and possible changes they could make, including where the village should connect trails or sidewalks with other municipalities, safety features, ADA accessible additions, and other factors. The survey is available at westonwi.gov. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Dodgers in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and Dodgers in Game 1 of the National League Championship Series, the best of seven. Manager Pat Murphy asked about how the Dodgers have yet to beat the Brewers this year.
Your team handled the Dodgers 6-0.
Yeah, I mean, we're not overconfident, that's for sure. Dodgers are a powerhouse. What can you say? You don't see many commercials anywhere across the world and you don't have Dodgers in it because they have the star power. They're great players.
Game 1 tonight in Milwaukee. NBA, the Bucks and Bulls got physical last night in Chicago. Bulls guard Emmanuel Miller left due to a chipped tooth. Another Bulls player with a cut above the eye, Dalian Terry, ejected after a fight with the Bucks' Taurean Prince. Milwaukee won the preseason contest, 127-121. NFL, Packers with a 27-18 victory over the Bengals, thanks to some key receptions from rookie Matthew Golden.
Man, he adds another explosive playmaker. I think he made some big-time plays today.
That's quarterback Jordan Love with sports on Mike Clemens.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, there could be a shower in the late afternoon and evening. Highs in the upper 50s to around 60. And again around 60 on Wednesday and partly sunny. It's 67 right now.
Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m., it's the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I'm Chad Holmes, joining former Wausau West head football coach Jason Foster and myself as we talk high school football. We'll review week number 8 of the season, preview week number 9, and preview level 1 playoffs in 8-player football, plus special guests. At 6:30, we'll be joined by Braden Mitchell, the D.C. Everest football coach, after the Evergreens clinched at least a share of the Wisconsin Valley Conference title with their win at Stevens Point last week. Then at 7:06 is our student athlete guest from Wausau West, running back Cooper DePoit. DePoit had more than 260 yards rushing in the Warriors' win over Eau Claire Memorial last week. It's the Big High School Sports Show, Wednesday, 6 till 8 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll get a live update from Capitol Hill from Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson on any signs of progress in ending the federal government shutdown.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Sound Off Monday. What ridiculous thing has happened in the last week or even today or on the Sunday news programs that you want to talk about? Phone lines and text lines are open. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about anything you want. 855-752-4842. And I got just the guest to engage in these great conversations with and for all of you this afternoon. His name is Tom Paulswitz. He is a Navy veteran. Happy birthday to the U.S. Navy. He is a two-time congressional candidate and a small business owner. Thanks for sticking around with us, Tom. We haven't even gotten to the shutdown yet.
No kidding. But hey, Maggie, I had a question for you.
Yes.
You know, with this whole shutdown thing, one of the things that I've been thinking about is, what happens when Congress comes back into session? I mean, I understand Johnson's playing this game, but it is eventually going to end. What is your take on that?
Yeah, there's three things that are happening all at the same time, and it makes for a really interesting political pickle, if you will, that Mike Johnson finds himself in. Folks, if you recall, the House of Representatives has been on vacation since before the shutdown. I'm not kidding you. The House of Representatives has been on vacation since before the shutdown. They have not been in formal session since the shutdown began. You would think that might be something that the House of Representatives would want to do. And yet, we've got the sound of the House clerk. This is the woman that does the formal announcements of the House sessions, when they're going to be in full session or open or not, explaining to all the House members that Mike Johnson still wants them to take vacation. Let's take a listen to the House clerk explaining the vacation is going to continue.
The Speaker's Rooms, Washington, D.C., October 10th, 2025. I hereby designate the period from Tuesday, October 14th, 2025 through Sunday, October 19th, 2025 as a district work period under Clause 13 of Rule 1. Signed sincerely, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Pursuant to Clause 13 of Rule 1, the House stands adjourned until Tuesday.
Okay, so they're still in, quote, district work, which is as good as a vacation, until today, right? She was just giving the next updated chunk of time. So the House of Representatives not coming back to do any work on this shutdown at all, ever. But to get to your point, Tom, and folks, if you want to get in on this conversation, which is like quite the question, right? 855-752-4842. Here is my take on this. What happens when Mike actually gavels in Congress and fully brings it back into session. He has to swear in the congresswoman, the just newly elected, I should say, in a special election, congresswoman from Arizona, Adelita Grijalva. So if he has to swear her in, she's a Democrat, she is the 218th vote for the discharge petition. What is that? A discharge petition is a formal mechanism, a formal procedural mechanism in the House of Republicans to bypass a committee and force a full House vote on a particular motion. Here, the thing is the discharge petition to make the entire House vote on what, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, yes, the release of the Epstein files. And here is the rub. Adelita Grijalva, she would be the 218th vote. They would be forced to take an entire vote of the entire House to release the Epstein files, which means every MAGA congressman that ran on this stuff, that ran on the QAnon theories, that ran on all of this nonsense, which at its root is a real crime. There were real girls sex trafficked. They're going to have to stand up in public and take a vote on it. So the question that this points to is not just the question you asked me, Tom. The Speaker of the House, during a shutdown, refuses to gavel the House into session, refuses to allow the House to do its work, refuses, by extension, to negotiate in good faith with Democrats. Why would the Speaker of the House allow such a terrible PR liability to persist during a shutdown? Because he has been told, under no circumstances, let that discharge petition go forward. How afraid is Donald Trump and the Trump administration of the Epstein files? So afraid that they will direct the Speaker of the House not to gavel the House back into session during a government shutdown. That's how important
it is. But Maggie, in their defense, though, they're not being paid during the shutdown, right? So they really shouldn't be working, correct?
No, members of Congress absolutely are still collecting their paychecks, as one of our very smart callers pointed out before.
Oh, that's right. They're still getting paid, so they actually should work.
Should be working. Saying. Yes, it should not be, quote, district work, don't need to be in D.C., don't need to be bargaining, don't need to be actually talking about what's going on in the shutdown. And by the way, in this hour, I am going to dismantle entirely the bogus lie that keeps getting told by Ron Johnson, Jim Jordan, Speaker Johnson, the vice president, the president, Caroline Leavitt, all of them, about Democrat, the veneer, this fig leaf that they've come up with. Oh, Democrats trying to give every undocumented person free health care. No, that's a lie, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to take the very document that they say proves that Democrats want to give free health insurance to undocumented persons. I'm going to take all of the documents, break it down, and prove to you that Republicans are liars. I'm going to do it on this program before we hit 6 o'clock because I'm sick of it. Our good friend CJ mentioned page 57 of section 2141 of the Democratic proposal. Yeah, I know how to research things, CJ, so I went and found it. I'll break it down for you. Nobody should go anywhere. Joe from Madison, say hello to Tom Paulswitz. What you got for us?
Hey, Tom. Hey, Maggie. Great show. And I thank you for your discussion just recently where you were describing that it wasn't Congress that decided that they're going to be, quote,
no,
on vacation.
Mike Johnson.
It is Mike Johnson. That's where it needs to be laid. And it's really important to say that. And his fear, his whiny boy cowardly act on this and his refusal end up to Donald Trump. What a weenie. What an absolute weenie. And previously you had a veteran who called in your last segment and he spoke very eloquently about his fury upon seeing veterans having to be used as pawns in this whole situation. Yeah. And I would say to him that this is time for veterans. And I say this as somebody who has veterans and active duty in my extended family. Get on the phone and you call every Republican legislator you know from your local to from dog catcher to president, and you say again and again and again, and you say, I will not vote Republican unless this gets solved, and not by getting solved by digging around money here and there, but by getting the government back to work so that everybody gets paid. Veterans are in a position where they can affect this, and it's time for them to start using their power. Don't vote for people who don't support you. In the last election, you know, it was 60%, I think it was, veterans voting for Trump. They knew how he felt about them. He called them suckers and losers. Don't vote for people like that. Vote for people who care about you, and make it clear that you are not going to vote for Republican again if this kind of garbage keeps going on. It's insane. Are we going to be 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks out? Up until the next election, because Mike Johnson isn't going to want to gavel the Congress back in? How long is this going to keep going on? Thanks a lot, Maggie. Appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Thanks, Joe. Tom, your reactions.
Well, first off, well said. Yeah. You know, I appreciate the sentiments about veterans, and I think it's important to note that there's a lot of veterans who are upset by this, but they also have loyalty to this country. And one of the things that this administration is doing is they're carving out and dividing that loyalty and saying, if you're not loyal to Trump, you're not loyal to the country. And I think there's a lot of veterans that are seeing through that. And hopefully we see that impact either this weekend or in the elections next year.
Yeah, this weekend upcoming, of course, the No Kings protest. There's so much sound here to emphasize. I do want to get the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene knows what's going on with Mike Johnson and the House. And she actually also understands the fact that Republicans in their big brutal bill are about to make health care completely unaffordable for tens of millions of Americans because they refuse to renew and restore the funding for the Affordable Care Act subsidies. You may hate Obamacare. By the way, Republicans tried to repeal it about 60 plus times. They've never been successful, so they're trying to break it this way. In other words, not actually legislating like you're supposed to do, but break it economically. Listen to Marjorie Taylor Greene. She knows what Mike Johnson's up to. Caleb, this is Cut 10.
I've been here in Washington all week, and I've been at my office. I've been in the Capitol. There's two things I couldn't find this week. I couldn't find anywhere the Epstein files, and also couldn't find the Republican plan to fix the absolutely destroyed health insurance industry that got wiped out in 2015 with Obamacare.
Yeah.
Like, those are the two things I can't find. And when Republicans, and I'm criticizing also Congress big time, I'm really grateful to a lot of the things the president is doing, but I'm really upset with the direction Congress is going. But when we are not doing anything to address the cost of living, we aren't doing anything about Blackstone buying up houses where people, most young people, can't find a house and they're having to compete in bidding wars.
Right.
And we're not doing anything about health insurance premiums. Then for the love of God, what are we doing?
Gee whiz, Marjorie, I've been saying the same thing about Republicans for the last 25 years. What are you doing other than basically welfare for mega corporations and handouts to the filthy rich? And I don't mean folks with a few million bucks in their retirement account that are trying to help their kids pay for college and buy their first homes and retire with dignity. Not talking about you. I'm talking about people with their names on buildings who don't have bosses, and none of their kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, or great-great-great-grandkids will ever have to work a day in their life. So much for those bootstraps. Tim from Wales asks, why don't they just vote for extending the existing budget? That's what the continuing resolution is. Tim from Wales, that's what the existing CRs that the Senate Democrats have voted to include, that is what is on the table. The Senate Democrats want specifically any continuing resolution, which will largely simply fund the budget at the existing level, to repeal the stripping away of the Obamacare or Affordable Care Act tax credits for premiums, otherwise known as a subsidy for the ACA premiums. This is what's going to cause, say, a married couple at 55 earning about $80,000, $85,000 a year. That is what's going to take their health care premium from $8,000 per year to $24,000, $25,000, $26,000 per year. There are tons of examples of this. 35-year-old making $75,000. You can go through them. We're going to include a link in our show notes today that shows you those premium calculators. Look for that, folks. You can find all of our shows and show notes at civicmedia.us/shows or on Spotify or Apple Pods. When we come back, we're going to hear about putting federal workers into trauma. Yeah, the guy that's firing them has wanted to do this for years. Keep it locked. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 15th, a pivotal case in the future of the Voting Rights Act will be heard in the U.S. Supreme Court. It pits the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause against 60 years of court precedent and the 15th Amendment. Voting rights protections for minority Americans are at stake. Since 2013, the Roberts Court has struck down the VRA's preclearance oversight of discriminatory states and last year made it harder for minority voters to prove racial gerrymandering. Now, the VRA's protections from racial gerrymandering could be eliminated entirely. Louisiana versus Calais is a continuation of a racial gerrymandering case for which lower courts mandated two majority-minority congressional districts under Section 2. Louisiana's population is 33% African American, but as of 2022, in only one congressional district out of six could black voters have a realistic chance of electing a candidate of their choice. Quote, non-African American voters claim the majority-minority districts discriminate against them under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The state of Louisiana argues that race-based redistricting, including under the Voting Rights Act, is therefore unconstitutional. We'll discuss the 14th and 15th Amendments and the Equal Protection Clause in our next report. Oral arguments will be streamed beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We have a link at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday for the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and it is Sound Off Monday. What is on your mind? What do you think we've missed in covering the news? 855-752-4842. All are welcome. First-time callers, women, conservatives, veterans, you all go to the front of the line on this program, 855-75-CIVIC. We've got a veteran with us for this whole entire program. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He joins me frequently. Had a little hiatus, but he's back in the proverbial saddle with me on the Maggie Dawn Show. He is a Navy veteran. Happy 250th to the Navy. He is a small business owner and two-time congressional candidate. Again, Tom, thank you for sticking around with us. You wanted to make a point, and I don't know if I got there when we were talking about what's going on with Mike Johnson and the fact that he won't gavel in the House, why he won't actually have the House come do their work during an epic government shutdown. And you were extrapolating another point about that.
Yeah, and there are three people besides Thomas Massie from Kentucky who have signed the discharge position, one of them being Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's been incredibly vocal for the last couple of weeks. She has been clearly transactional for her entire congressional career. So I find a hard time believing that she's turned a page on this. Nancy Mace from South Carolina is running for governor, is probably also looking for something. The third one, though, interestingly enough, is Lauren Boebert from Colorado, who has been completely silent. So I think one of those things that's happening is yes, Speaker Johnson is working tough behind the scenes to see what he can do before he gavels back in. But I also wanted to mention, Maggie, that I'm on the Affordable Care Act, as are a number of other small business owners, contractors, yes, people who cannot get insurance through an employer. They are going to get hurt, and they are going to get hurt hard. And I think yeah, that something is, you know, in this country, we talk about entrepreneurship. We talk about people pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. This is a critical component to that. And if we don't create, if we don't bring back those subsidies, I think you're going to see a lot of small business owners have to either close shop, go back into the workforce to see what they can do, even though it's not a great time to do it. I think it's going to create some chaos, which to me is unfortunate because we founded this country on an entrepreneurial spirit and we should continue that.
Yeah, it hurts everybody, service workers who don't get health insurance because they're waiters, yeah, waitresses, et cetera. It hurts gig workers. It hurts folks, yeah, with their own small businesses. It hurts the folks that work for small businesses. It hurts retirees. It hurts tens of millions of people. And folks will be sicker and die because of this. Republicans wanted to talk about death panels in the back, in the Wayback Machine. How about this? You're going to die because you can't afford insurance, courtesy of MAGA. Yeah. Thank you very much. And
while
the point
you're
about
working hard.
Correct.
While you're working as hard as you can.
And the point about Mike Johnson and not gaveling in the House, my view is that he is working behind the scenes to try to peel off either Boebert, Green, or Mace. There are only four House Republicans that are voting for the discharge position. It's Massey from Kentucky, Green from Georgia, Boebert from Colorado, and Mace from South Carolina. That is the perfect time for Johnson or Trump to offer up a quid pro quo. You pull your vote on this, we'll give you XYZ. And the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene, as well as Lauren Boebert and Nancy Mace, to an extent, have sometimes been on the outs with MAGA and some of the leadership because of the way that they conduct business, I'm not surprised to see it lining up that way. Let's go to the phones here, folks. 855-752-4842. Charles from Milwaukee, say hi to Tom. What you got for us?
Good morning, Maggie and Tom. My complaint is just this constant lying from the Republican Party that the Democratic Party shut down the government. When they've changed the rules to get other things done, so why won't they change it to get this done?
Yeah, it's a huge lie. And let's be clear about that lie. We have sound of this. Senator Thune, he is the majority leader in the Senate, gave the most mealy-mouthed roundabout answer to, listen, you could end the filibuster, hit the nuclear option, and refund government tomorrow if Republicans wanted. They've got the votes to do that. Here's Senator Thune, the Senate Majority Leader, telling America why they just won't do that.
Why not go ahead and use this as an opportunity, if things are so dire, to get rid of the filibuster? Use the nuclear option.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the filibuster, as you know, supermajority requirement, is something that makes the Senate the Senate. And honestly, if we had done that, there's a whole lot of bad things that could have been done by the other side. The 60 vote threshold has protected this country, and frankly, that's what I think this last election was largely about, because if the Democrats had won the majority, they probably would have tried to nuke the filibuster. And then you'd have four new United States senators from Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia. You'd have a packed Supreme Court. You'd have abortion on demand. A whole bunch of things that were on that laundry list. They had about six or seven things that they were going to do when they nuked the filibuster. And so the filibuster protects. It's been a voice for the minority. It gives the minority a say in what happens in this country. The founders created the Senate uniquely that way for that specific reason. And so it's just really not that complicated. All it takes is a little backbone, a little courage on behalf of five Democrats to do what they have done and what we've done for decades.
And he goes on and on. Or it takes some courage for Senate Republicans to say it matters to us that Americans can continue to afford health care, health insurance. By the way, packed Supreme Court abortion on demand that's safe and that you have insurance coverage for. That sounds good. What was the other one? Oh, yeah. Supreme Court. What was the other thing? I forget what the first thing he said was. It was the packed court abortion on demand. What the hell was the other thing? Anyways, all of them sounded good to me. Oh, yeah, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. That would have passed as well. Guaranteed access to the voting booth for every American. Sure sounds good to me.
All terrible things.
We're going to take a break. Come right back. Mike from Muskota is up next on the phone line. You can be 2-855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. A long-awaited hearing in the ethics complaint against Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney has officially come to an end. The Wausau Ethics Board has officially heard the complaint against Dinney regarding his removal of a ballot box from the steps of City Hall last year. The complaint, filed in January, alleged Dinney's removal of the ballot box violated city ethics codes. In the nearly seven-hour hearing, the board and Dinney's lawyer, Andrew Erlinson, questioned witnesses, including Wausau Police Chief Matt Barnes, City Council President Lisa Rasmussen, City Clerk Caitlin Bernardi, and City Attorney Ann Jacobson. During his testimony, Dinney says he feels the public didn't know the box was there until it was missing.
I went out to inspect it, and I realized, it's very light. It was clearly not secured.
He said he didn't intend to keep the box for an extended period of time.
It wasn't my intention to keep it in my office for a full year. It was to try to move the cheese, I think is the term that I used, in getting the proper lighting, the proper security, the proper markings. And at the time, I didn't know there were issues with the marking per se, but I was concerned about the other security issues.
In looking back on the situation, Dinney said he wouldn't wish his, quote, 15 minutes of fame on anyone.
I had CNN showing up here. We had news camera before we had our security doors out front. We had news guys rolling and walking into my office. It was a miserable period of time.
The board's hearing brings a months-long process to an end, which included several attempts by Dinney to have the matter dismissed and delayed. The board did not immediately announce their decision. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Normally, I prefer to see movies in the theater, but we'll have to rethink that when Minecraft 2 comes out. Variety reports a Minecraft sequel is in the works after the first flick made almost $1 billion worldwide. Not sure if you remember or heard this, but there is a zombie chicken baby scene that made teenage boys do very gross things in the movie theater. You might want to sit that one out and wait for it to stream. Minecraft 2 is scheduled to hit theaters July 23rd of 2027. Variety is also reporting that Bradley Cooper is in talks to star in the prequel of the Ocean's 11 franchise. The film will be set before the first Steven Soderbergh version of Ocean's 11 in 2001. This franchise is a remake of the original Ocean's 11 from 1960 that starred Frank Sinatra and some of his Rat Pack pals. The new film is rumored to be set in 1960s Europe. Margot Robbie is already on board to play the female lead. They are really milking this ocean thing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, there could be a shower in the late afternoon and evening. Highs in the upper 50s to around 60. And again around 60 on Wednesday and partly sunny. It's 67 right now.
On Friday night, the Wausau West High School football team wraps up the regular season, traveling to River Falls to take on the 7-1 Wildcat. Hear all the action live from the Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM. mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West Football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, K5 Construction, Rocket Industrial, and the Cloverbelt Credit Union. It's Wausau West at River Falls and High School Football. Live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35, kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, farmers and the Trump tariffs, how are they faring? Will Westmoreland will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Sound Off Monday. We will talk about whatever you want. I've, of course, got a few thoughts of my own to get the conversation starting. And I've got one takedown. You know how I like my takedowns. A caller or an elected official says something that I know is absolute baloney, and then I take it down. We're going to do one of those in this segment, but I want to give some love to our callers. Of course, we got my friend and yours, Tom Paulswitz, as my special co-contributor today. He's a Navy vet. Happy birthday, Navy. Two-time congressional candidate and, of course, a small business owner. We've been talking about the fact that Mike Johnson basically has had the House of Representatives on vacation since before the shutdown, not doing the people's business. You know who else isn't doing the people's business? The MAGA-led Wisconsin legislature. Do you know that our state Senate hasn't been in session since they adopted the budget in July? I just want everybody to absorb that. They get paid a lot of money, and they haven't been at work since July, courtesy of the MAGA that leads the state Senate. You want to talk about the House side, the state assembly? Oh, yeah. They're nearly as bad. The assembly, controlled also by MAGAs in the state, they've only met on the floor 13 times this year. How about it's October? Anybody else down for just showing up to work like 13 days of the year? Be like, yeah, pay me the full load. It's fine. Don't prorate that. It is a MAGA problem. Majorly and MAGA-ly everywhere, I would say. Pardon the pun or twist of words here. Mike from Muskota, say hi to Tom. What you got for us, friend?
Maggie, that's pronounced Muskoday.
Muskoday. I get this wrong every time, Mike. You keep correcting me, and one of these days I'll get Muskoday right. Thank you for your correction, friend. Go ahead.
Well, I think that might be our way of pronouncing it, but maybe the Indians, the Native Indians, pronounced it Muskota. That's quite possible. But however, I've got a sneaking suspicion that the Democrats are holding off to this King's Day rally. Why doesn't Chuck Schumer and Tammy Baldwin have the backbone to vote this shutdown out? What's the drama? Why are they such drama queens? I don't understand the Democrats, and I think they're a bunch of losers.
What, they're holding out because the ACA subsidies are going to go away and tens of millions of Americans are going to lose their health insurance and die. That's what doesn't sound like a drama act to me, Mike.
Well, it certainly seems that to me, but I appreciate
why,
you.
Wait, Mike, hang on. Why is it not a legitimate demand to restore the ACA subsidies so that 15 million Americans can keep their health insurance affordable?
15 million what Americans? The ones
citizens,
that don't get off
sir.
Their butt to work?
No, sir. These are, first of all, the Affordable Care Act exchanges cover people who are working who do not get employer offered health insurance, like bartenders,
like me,
waitresses,
like me,
Tom Paulswitz, who's on the phone.
But I don't agree with you. I never will. The Affordable Care
You don't
Act
agree with what,
a,
sir?
Never will be affordable. just like,
sir, what I'm asking you, what you don't agree with. You can say, I still don't think health insurance is affordable as it should be. But it is a fact that over 10 million Americans will have to pay, in some cases, double or triple what they paid this year to purchase health insurance because Republicans, the MAGA party, removed the subsidies for the purchasing of insurance through the Affordable Care Act.
Why don't we go back to the double indemnity insurance like it used to be back in the 70s and 80s?
Where, the double indemnity insurance is mostly like a catastrophic plan, and it doesn't provide for general wellness visits, your regular health insurance. And if that worked so well, we would have done that. That does not solve the problem. The health insurance market that we understand today, over 10 million, some estimates as close to 15 million people will either go uninsured or not insured at all because the subsidy is no longer there, sir. That's the demand of Democrats. That's not drama. That's going to be those 15 million people's lived reality. How do you get health insurance, Mike, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, I get it through United Health. I've got Social Security.
So Medicare as well, Medicare Part B, sir, are you retired?
Yes, ma'am.
So you get Medicare, right? So other people who aren't yet Medicare eligible, also that are retired like you, also get their health insurance through the ACA. If someone was just like you, but simply a little bit younger, had to stop working because of illness or other reason, don't you think they deserve the right, just like you do through Medicare, to have affordable health insurance?
If they get off their butt and work, I think a lot of people have taken a free ride for a long time.
Mike, that's an incorrect assumption. If that is the entire basis for you, let me just say this, sir.
Incorrect?
Hang on.
Why am I incorrect and you right? Why
because I've researched this,
you
sir.
Right?
You're just making stuff up and repeating talking points. Here's what
Mike,
I will say to you, sir.
Mike,
Tom.
Okay, go ahead.
If your opposition to restoring the subsidies is that you hold a belief that half, 60, 75% of people that get their health insurance through the ACA are unemployed freeloaders, wouldn't it be really important to check that fact, to spend 15 minutes on the internet and check if that's true? Because if that's not true, then you're in effect flipping the bird to those 15 million Americans who are working, but simply work two or three jobs at less than full time and can't get employer-based healthcare like you are able to, and the subsidies that are now provided to you through Medicare. Wouldn't it be really important to check that assumption? You there, Mike?
I don't think Mike's there. You know, but I think that the piece that's missing here, Maggie, is, you know, these are working people who still have to pay for their insurance. It's not free.
Right.
It's just affordable because they're not part of a pool that helps you create affordable insurance. That's all the ACA is. It's a non-employer-related pool of people that can access health insurance. And the Republicans have done a great job, as Mike has shown us, that tie it to the idea that these are freeloading people who get health insurance for free, which is the farthest thing from the truth.
And there are people who have Medicaid but need gap coverage who also get that gap coverage through the ACA. I look forward to Mike
just disavowing his Medicare and going and buying insurance on his own.
Right? I mean, that's where we're at. Let's go back to the phones. We got Tom from Madison. Tom from Madison, say hello to Tom. Balzowitz, what you got for us?
Yes, I am one of those freeloaders who was on the ACA for years. I'm an actor and a musician. I have hired other people, so I'm a job creator. The ACA gave me the first affordable health care I had in 20 years. For a long time, because I didn't make a whole lot of money, I made too much money to be on Medicaid, but I didn't make enough money to afford full price, you know. For many, many years, I paid more for my health insurance than I paid for housing.
Yes.
It was absolutely ridiculous. I have worked my butt off for decades and decades, and idiots like Mike, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling very compassionate today when I hear stuff like that. I swear to God, a MAGA Republican is somebody who stays awake all night knowing that somewhere, someone is getting something they might not deserve. It makes me insane. It's just crazy. I know dozens of people who have small business people, people who are artists, people who have to go from one job to another,
yes,
who would have no health insurance if it wasn't for the ACA. And not only that, but the pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
Getting rid of that has saved the lives of thousands of Americans. So, yeah. Sorry, Mike, I'm sorry if you feel that it's not right, but this thing has saved thousands of lives. And the idea that you're just putting it away without having a replacement, I mean, the Republicans haven't had a health care plan since the Nixon administration.
Yeah.
So they cannot be trusted. They cannot be trusted with health care. Not ever.
Correct. Correct.
Thanks so much, Tom.
According
to the Kaiser Family Foundation, their analysis estimates that 40% of adults under age 65 with individual marketplace coverage are either small business owners, employees, or self-employed. They do not have a correct stat for those that are full-time caregivers to someone who is disabled, a disabled child, or an elderly parent. There's a lot of ways to slice that data. But if that is correct, then Mike is willing to flip the bird to 7.5 million Americans, even though they're working full time, because
yes,
somebody else who might be working less than full time might also be benefited. And here's the economic rub, Tom. I'll just say this. Even if people are not currently employed and they get health insurance through the ACA, if we had universal health care for folks, guess what happens to everybody? Everybody's premiums go down. Everybody's copays go down. Everybody's deductibles go down. And by the way, this is Romney Care, that Republican Mitt Romney. This is what he did in Utah. And it was wildly heralded as a good thing. And the reason is everybody gets insurance, so everybody goes and gets preventative care. You have better health overall. It reduces the use of hospitalizations and emergency departments, et cetera, et cetera. Facts, man. It's they're a little
facts.
They're a sticky wicket.
Yeah.
They are a sticky wicket. All righty, we got Ollie from the Northwoods. Ollie, say hi to Tom P. What you got for us?
Hi, Tom. Thank you for your service. I had uncles and cousins who were in the Navy, even though my dad was in the Army for 23 years. but I have two things to sound off about. First off, I'd like to debate Mike on one thing. He is on Social Security, getting Medicare. He has his extra little bit of insurance. But he has to remember that there will come a day when the hospitals will no longer, and insurance companies will no longer be able to afford caring for people who are on Social Security because they are losing that funding from the Affordable Care Act. So
yes,
insurance for everybody will go up, and hospitalization costs will go up for everybody.
Thanks so much, Ollie. I just want to squeeze in another call. By the way, I think Mitt Romney was governor of Utah. Utah's apparently on my brain today. I meant Massachusetts. Northwoods, Terry, we got less than a minute. Make it fast, my friend.
I was just going to correct you on Massachusetts. That's all. But anyway.
I love fact-checking from listeners in real time. It helps us all do better. I always welcome it. You can fact-check us. I am going to do the takedown on the Republican talking point that Democrats want to give people who are undocumented free health care. It's a lie. I'm going to prove it to you. The one time they tried to cite some evidence, I was paying attention. I took notes. We break it down next. The big lie revealed. I'm Maggie Dawn. I got Tom Polsiewicz with me on Monday's edition of Sound Off today, and each and every one of you. So keep it locked and join us, 855-757.
Connect. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
On Saturday, the Newman Catholic High School football team opens up the playoffs, traveling to Frederick for a Level 1 matchup. Hear all the exciting action live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 12:35 and the opening kickoff at 1 p.m. Newman Catholic High School football is brought to you by the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, Sun Printing, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Rocket Industrial and the Wausau Business Show, and the Cloverbelt Credit Union. It's Newman Catholic at Frederick in an 8-player football WIAA Level 1 playoff. Saturday, live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 12:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 1 on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are in our last segment of the day. It is Sound Off Monday, and I have been waiting to sound off about this one thing, and I wanted to share it with all of you. Of course, we've got good friend of the show, Tom Paulswitz, with us, a Navy veteran. Happy birthday to the U.S. Navy, 250 years young and still kicking today. He is a small business owner and a two-time congressional candidate. Tom, I laid this out for you in one of our breaks, and you're like, are you going to do that on the show? Because I think it's important.
Yeah, very important.
So here is what is happening every single day, whether it's Jim Jordan, J.D. Vance, what's her name, Collins, the press secretary. Oh, Caroline Leavitt. Caroline Leavitt. And certainly Mike Johnson. They get on these national news programs every day and they say Democrats want to give free health insurance to undocumented people. And it is a lie. OK, when Mike Johnson was finally pressed about this, he's like, look at page 57 of section 2141 of the Democratic funding proposal from the Senate. So I did that. Now, just to refresh our recollection, here's Mike Johnson spreading the lie with Caitlin Collins on CNN. Take a listen.
As you know, people who are here in the United States legally have never been eligible for the Obamacare subsidies, for Medicare, for Medicaid. So what exactly are you saying that they're trying to do when you talk about giving free health care to
them? I'm so glad you asked. Okay, so when we passed the One Big Beautiful Bill, the Working Families Tax Cut, we had Medicaid reforms in the bill. You and I talked about it on the air. What we did was to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse. There were a lot of people on the program who were enrolled in the program who were never eligible to be there. Medicaid is intended for eligible U.S. citizens, not illegal aliens, not also U.S. citizens who are able-bodied workers, like young men. So we passed the law. The president signed it into law. Democrats voted against it, of course. And it's been wildly successful.
What you did was narrow the eligibility for certain people to get access to the ACA subsidies. What they want to do is undo the changes that Republicans made in that. But basically, wouldn't that only affect people who do have legal status, people who are refugee seekers here in the United States, asylum seekers here?
Those are two totally different issues. Now, they've created this as a new argument that they have as to why they should not keep the government open.
He goes on and on and on. The Republican lie every single day is Democrats want to give free health care to undocumented people. Okay, what's been cited as the basis for that is page 57 of section 2141 of the Democratic proposal to fund the government on the Senate side. Here is what section 2141 on page 57 says as to the Medicaid Act, which also covers ACA. It says this: Subtitle B of Title 7 of the Act, blah, 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 is repealed, and any law or regulation referred to in such subtitle shall be applied as if it is null and void. Okay? That's what it says. So you got to go look. Okay, what is this act to provide reconciliation? Oh, that's Public Law 119-21. So then you got to go pull that up. That was the Republican big brutal bill. Okay, that's what that is. It's Public Law 119-21. So I pulled it up, and I pulled up the section that deals with the Social Security Act, which is 42 USC 1396 B sub V. Okay, 42 USC 1396. Here's what the Republican big brutal bill inserted newly into this act. Okay, notwithstanding the preceding paragraphs of this subsection beginning October 1st, except as provided in paragraphs 2 and 4, in no event shall payment be made to a state under this section for medical assistance furnished to an individual unless the individual is a resident of one of the 50 states and either a citizen or national or an alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence. Okay? They're making you think that that's new. Okay? In no event shall any payment be made to a state for medical assistance unless someone is a resident and either a citizen or a, quote, alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence. Yes, Democrats want to repeal that, but why does it not change the ineligibility of undocumented people? Because that act, the Social Security Act, already said that exact same thing. They added language that they did not need to add in order to confuse you and lie to you and lie to their MAGA supporters to tell you and to make this claim on national news that they were newly adding the exclusion of people who are here illegally. Friends, that existed under that law since it was adopted. I read to you from that section as it was originally drafted and as it still stands. Before the big brutal bill, this is what it read. No payment shall be made to a state under this section for medical assistance furnished to an alien who is not lawfully admitted for permanent residence or otherwise permanently residing in the United States under color of law. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I rest my case. Republicans are lying to you. The MAGAs are lying to you. They put language into the big brutal to make you think they were newly making it illegal for undocumented people to receive any health insurance. It was always so. Here is the language from the bill as originally adopted. No payment shall be made to a state under this section for medical assistance furnished to an alien who is not lawfully admitted for permanent residence or otherwise permanently residing in the United States under color of law. Republicans acted like they were doing something, and all they did was add in the identical same language, just flipped around a little bit. It is a lie. Hmm. It is a damn lie, and it will never be anything but a damn lie. Tom, closing thoughts. We got about 30 seconds,
not
my
surprising.
Friend.
Yeah, not surprising. The bigger picture, though, is show up to a rally this weekend, and then the last thing I have to say is go Brewers.
Go Brewers. Big game tonight, folks. Go Crew. We'll talk about it tomorrow. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for the truth.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. President Trump traveled to the Middle East today, declaring an end to the war in Gaza.
At long last, we have peace in the Middle East.
He stopped first in Israel and then traveled to Egypt to meet with world leaders to set in motion the next phases of the agreement. CBS's Sam Vinograd.
This is an incredible day. Even if everything stopped here, we have the last remaining living hostages home, remains of many others home. We have more aid flowing into Gaza, and for the first time in almost 2 years, we have a ceasefire holding.
Former Special Envoy Roger Karsten says there are still difficult issues to work out.
You might just say right now we have a hostage deal, not really a peace deal, a hostage deal. The peace deal happens as we progress, figure out some of the bigger questions on how the demilitarization is going to go, how we're going to flood Gaza with humanitarian assistance, etc.
It still isn't clear who will govern Gaza. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammie McCormick.